Good morning. Welcome to our worship service. Want to especially welcome all of you visitors. We are glad you're here, and we invite you to worship our perfect Heavenly Father with us this morning. This morning, before we came to church, we were reading from Jonah chapter 4, and I noticed how focused Jonah was on himself. I don't know if you remember some of the things that he said in Jonah 4, but Jonah was dismayed that God had had mercy on the Ninevites, and he was very happy for this gourd. And then when he lost this gourd that he had done nothing to receive, he was so upset in verse 8 that he said, "It is better for me to die than to live." And listen to what God says. God said to Jonah, "Dost thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even to death." Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Over 120,000 children who didn't know the difference between the right and the left hand, plus adults and much cattle." And I was struck by the thought of how much sorrow there is in the world around us today. And we are here this morning, and we get to enjoy the kingdom of God and the joy of the Lord at work in our hearts. We are truly blessed. Let's begin singing.
Turn to number 89.
Holy God, we praise thy name. Glory, 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 glory
Put your finger in number 96 and turn to 116. We'll sing 116 and then go immediately into number 96. The Lord is in His holy temple.
Good morning to each of you. Have you ever been repulsed by the fanaticism and worship that happens with celebrities or other heroes, if you want to call them that? Think about the way that people will mob around a political figure, hoping to shake his hand or touch the hem of his garment or something. Or how they try to get an autograph from their favorite singer or athlete? How about the extreme marketing that surrounds famous people, singers or sports figures? People wearing shirts or jackets with the names of their favorite teams or their favorite player. Life-size posters of these objects of worship in their bedrooms, maybe right in the middle of a slam dunk or something. Have you ever noticed the way that these heroes invite and maybe actually encourage this worship? They don't all, perhaps, but I think it's not an uncommon thing. Is this really, in essence, any different from Herod, for example, who approved of the crowd, didn't stop them when they cried, "Ah, this is the voice of a god, not of a man"? Or how about Darius agreeing to the decree that people should pray only to him? Or Nebuchadnezzar erecting the golden statue and requiring people to worship it? Is it in substance, is it any different? Now, I have a disquieting question for you. We just sang, "Let the whole creation cry, glory to the Lord on high." And then it goes through and lists who should: warriors fighting for the Lord, prophets burning with his word, those to whom the arts belong, join the rushing of the song. We're all supposed to do this, right? Have you ever wondered how our praising God is any different than this? Think about all the references to praise in the scriptures. Some of them are even given as God speaking. For an example, let me just read a few verses out of Psalm 50. This is given as though God were saying it. It's a psalm of Asaph. "Sacrifice thank offerings to God, fulfill your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me." And then the last verses in the psalm: "Consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces with none to rescue. He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God." Is that different than these leaders who say, you know, "You bow down to me and I'll put food on your table"? What exactly makes God less egocentric than these rulers or celebrities? Actually, I would like to suggest that we are somehow missing the point if we think the Bible is, particularly the Psalms, are demanding us to praise God. And let me explain a little further. I was showing off my clunky old ThinkPad notebook to my class a while back because one of them made the mistake of showing an ounce of interest in this thing. This was an old machine when I got it. It was a hand-me-down. And last summer it kicked the bucket, and I just was a little too stubborn to let it die, and so I replaced the system board and modified it so it would take a solid-state drive and, oh, did I do some other things to it? Yeah, I got another Ultra Bay hard drive, and it's really slick. It's running Linux, and I'm using a tiling window manager that really works, and it makes it efficient for me. By the way, ladies, if you're not married to a geek, be thankful. Now, I'll stop there, but I'm kind of proud of this thing, maybe a little bit like Perry Lee is proud of his 63 John Deere tractor. And, you know, probably what keep people like Perry and me from saying more about it, there are probably two factors that keep us from saying more about our little objects of pride. Maybe there are actually three, but One of those is, well, we're scared of boring people who really don't care. Another thing is that we're a little concerned that maybe you'll think we have the wrong priorities or something like that. So probably most of us have something a little bit like that, don't we? Some of us actually, give praise to things we've killed. We have a picture of a 12-point buck on our phone. Some of you older ones might have had a horse that you still delight to talk about, or some car, or some truck. Now, we have to be a little careful how we pray, how we brag up our children. But we might do that as far as we thought we could get away with it, in some cases at least. But we don't even have to worry about that for our grandchildren, do we? What's the common thread here? C.S. Lewis says, and I think it makes sense, he says, we praise what we enjoy. We praise what we enjoy. Why do you talk about your grandchildren? You enjoy them. Why do we try to get other people to see the value in whatever it is that we're praising? Because it's just part of it. We want them to understand this too. You know, think about it. If I get up and see the sunrise and it's magnificent, then I call my children over to the window and tell them, look, it's great. You know, I want them to see that. If you've had a good meal, don't you want other people to agree with you that was a phenomenal meal? C.S. Lewis also says that really it's those who have a noble mind who are capable of praise. Think about it a little bit. Think about the people that you know who are capable of praise. You know, making positive comments about other people or about, maybe it's about God or about an organization or about an event that happened. Just being positive about it. And then think about those people that you know that can rarely get a positive word out. Praise is not something you're going to accuse them of. Think about their mindset, and think about which is the more noble mindset. C.S. Lewis also says that there is a way in which praise doesn't simply reflect our enjoyment, it actually kind of completes our enjoyment. It's part of what we were designed to do. Now, there's a sobering thing here, and you can probably guess where I'm going because of some things I said earlier. There's a sobering element to this, too, and that is that praise reflects what's important to us. And so if we really find ourselves consumed with, you know, the athletes or the trucks or the cars or the whatever, then, you know, perhaps it is an indication of things that are amiss. But for us to praise God is not just right, it's healthy, it's an evidence of reality in the truest sense of the word. God is worthy of praise. Look at what he's done. So it's not egotistical of God to let the psalmist say, praise him. It's simply reflecting reality. He's worthy of praise. Let's read that song again, or parts of that song again with that in mind. Let the whole creation cry, hallelujah. Glory to the Lord on high. Heaven and earth, awake and sing. God is God and therefore King. Praise him, all ye hosts above, ever bright and fair in love. Sun and moon, uplift your voice. Night and stars in God rejoice. Warriors, fighting for the Lord. Prophets, burning with his word. Those to whom the arts belong, that's singers and visual artists all, musicians. Join the rushing of the song. This is what we're called to. This is the right thing. Now, you're wondering possibly what Psalm 50 had to do with that, and I'd like to just read that here in conclusion. I won't read the whole thing, but I didn't read it in context, and I'd like to do that here. It starts out by saying, "The Mighty One, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets." But I want to break in at verse 7. "Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Lord, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need of a bull or from your stall or of goats from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats?" Here it is. "Sacrifice thank offerings to me, to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me." So it's really in contrast to what he was saying before. He's saying, the stuff you're giving me, that doesn't mean much to me. What I really want is a thank offering, because that shows that we really understand God for who he is. Think of something that I believe was Tim Thomas said yesterday. He said, the tithe is a test of obedience. Offerings are a test of love. I think this is talking about the first part for the Old Testament followers of God was a test of obedience. The flesh of bulls and the blood of goats, that was a test of obedience. That was part of the law. But what he's saying is, I want the test of your love. I want you to offer thank offerings to me. Let's stand for prayer. We readily acknowledge, God, that you have created us the way you have designed us is to praise what we enjoy. And we know that because of how temporal we are, because of the fallen nature that is just written into our being, that we will always struggle on this earth with praising temporal things. But we just this morning acknowledge that you are the ultimate reality and that you are truly worthy of praise. And so we this morning offer back to you, give back our praise to you, we give you honor and glory. We offer our thank offerings to you. We want you to be exalted. We want to drag other people into this worship of you because you are so worthy. And we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Arlen. Wonderful reminders of what we are here for today, and we enjoy it. And I think it was last Sunday, maybe it was Sunday before, I was talking with several people afterwards, and I just noted that I can't come to church without leaving feeling blessed. There's something about worship and praise that does good things in our hearts too. There's a measure in which I marvel at how this works. It's not just for God. We do what we're designed for, and it does good things for us, too. Well, this brings us to our Sunday school time, especially for you. If there's visiting children here, there will be someone who will help you find an appropriate class. Children's classes are in the basement, so feel free to join in and follow along, and somebody will help you find your place. The teachers teaching in the basement are dismissed first. Preschool and primary students may follow. And junior and intermediate. And for the adults today, we are studying Psalm 127, 128 and 130. And just so you know, there are new Sunday school division sheets in your mailboxes. We only have 3 more Sundays left in Psalms, and so we want to encourage you to be thinking about what you would like to study next. We will probably try to vote on what book we would like to study next Sunday to give the Sunday school teachers plenty of time to get ready to shift some gears. So again, for today, Psalm 127, 128, and 130. And for you adult visitors, I would ask our folks, home folks, to make sure that visitors beside you are taken along to a class. Feel free to join in the discussion. Our Sunday school classes tend to be pretty open and free to share, so please join in and enjoy it with us. I think that's all. Let's dismiss for our question. Marvin Knisley's class. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention. Marvin Knisley's class is going to George Compton's. I'm assuming you want to meet outside the back door to carpool. Thank you. Let's assemble in our classes.
Well, a fitting way to start this part of our service when we share what the Lord has done for us. God is certainly a great and a faithful God. One of the things I was thinking about last day or two was the account we have in Luke 10 of Martha and Mary. And Martha was a diligent person and apparently was doing her best to be hospitable hostess. But then I notice what Jesus says about this. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." I think the King James says, "cumbered about much serving." And certainly, hospitality is a gift that we want to exercise. Someone has suggested that hospitality includes, what was the definition? You know, not only sharing food in our house, our friendship, whatever, but spiritual refreshment, I think, was part of the definition. Now, I had noticed when I had looked at this passage a number of years ago, I zeroed in on the one thing. You see, there was many things, and there was the one thing, the important thing. And as I thought about it here in the last year or two, I thought, and it ends by saying, "and that will not be taken away from her." So there are things that we need to do because we live in earthly bodies and we need to provide and those kinds of things. But let's remember to take care of the thing that will not be taken away from us. That one thing is the most important thing. And Mary sat at Jesus' feet and listened to Jesus. So, it's your time. Is there something that you would like to say that the Lord has been working in your life? David?
First, I would like to just refer a bit to my sister Marion's condition, mm-hmm. and thank you for the prayers that you have offered on her behalf. I would just say this: I think of Marion when you talk about someone who has chosen what's really important. and I see her as one who certainly loves to worship at Jesus' feet and listen to him. Mm-hmm. The first words she said, that the first things that came to her mind as she was coming to after her surgery was, "I will magnify the Lord." Now, this is before she knew that she had cancer, for sure. But it has been the underpinnings of her faith. Mm-hmm. And that has been a special encouragement mm-hmm. to us. Wanted just to give a bit of an update. The doctor did say that he was able to remove 90% of the mass that he found. But part of the mass was so calcified, and it was around a major aorta, that he just did not dare cut any further, lest he would rupture that. And so that's why he left some of it there. And obviously some of the questions that face us as a family is choices to be made on treatment. And we do invite your prayers, and we even invite your counsel as far as that's concerned. But your prayers in particular, as we seek to find the right treatment for her. I also, then, on a more personal note, just want to thank the Lord for his protection. About a week and a half ago, I had a little spill on the ice, and I hooked my cheekbone on a bumper of a truck. And there's about, as I thought of every place that it could have hit besides that, I told my children I'd do it. If I had to do it over again, I'd try to hit the same spot. But I'm doing this partly for two reasons. One is to thank the Lord for his protection. The other is just to let you know so you don't have to wonder what's wrong with me beyond what you can see. So I am grateful for what God has done, and we do look to the Lord in Marion's case.
Yeah, well, being who you are and how we know you, David, we weren't suspicious that there was a problem in your marriage.
Well, this is a praise item and an announcement, and this verse really jumped out at me last night as I was studying my lesson. 128, verse 6. Yes, may you see your children's children. And we were spending a couple days with our children's children, and we're excited and happy to announce the safe arrival of a little girl to Andrew and Renita Utsi, Keziah May. She was born last Sunday.
Okay.
And we thank God for the newborn and the healthy, and everything's going great.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lester.
Several months ago, I was at a place of business, and I needed to cross the scales with the truck coming and going. I was in twice, and I didn't think I could have time to wait on trucks, other trucks. And I just asked the Lord, "Lord, if it's not against your will, let me come and go without needing to wait on trucks." And the Lord answered my prayer, and I like to praise him for that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Harold.
I just want to praise God for how he's answered prayer last Sunday. Loyal requested prayer for a friend of ours, Angie Taylor, that the doctor had said that she may have a cancerous brain tumor, but then she went for a second opinion this past week with her doctor's recommendation, and was very, very pleased to find out that it's not cancerous. And so she was, just very thankful to God for that. But she still has, a blockage or some kind of tumor there that's causing headaches, so that the doctor has put her on some different medications to see if that will dissolve it. He's not just really sure that that's going to work and may have to end up doing surgery, but he would just, join us in prayer with her for continued healing for her.
Okay, thank you, Arnie. Okay, Craig.
Next Sunday, we'll be leaving for a trip to Thailand. We'll be there for about a month. So we would invite your prayers for us as we go. It's going to be kind of a time of getting our stuff and closing that chapter of our lives. So thank you for remembering us.
I would appreciate prayer for my friends in West Virginia, John and Jamie Clegg. John has had a number of injuries from working in the coal mines. He's broke his neck twice. He's also torn his muscles to the point where they had to insert mesh to rebuild the muscles. And he's going through a lot of depression because he can't provide for his family the way he wants to. So if you could pray for some open doors, perhaps other work that he could do physically.
Okay. Okay, Malorn.
Tommy Wagler's have asked that we would remember our brothers and sisters in Kenya at this time. We remember the last time they had elections, things got really wild, and a lot of people lost their lives and were displaced. And tomorrow is the time for elections again, so we don't know what will happen, but Tommy's would like that we, and they said, pray for us and get your churches to pray for us. Okay. So let's remember our brothers and sisters in Kenya at this time.
Okay.
Our lives, we don't have any say-so as to when we come and when we go, but I came across this the other day and I felt it was worth sharing. Aging should not be viewed as a burden, but as a blessing. I ask for your help, merciful God, to change my view of growing older and celebrate my glorious age this day. Amen.
Thank you. All right, Justin back there.
Yeah, I'd just like to share a couple verses from 1 Peter 4 that I was thinking about. 1 Peter 4, verse 12, 13, and 14. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try, but consider it all joy when you be reproached for the name of Christ. Blessed are you if you're reproached for the name of Christ, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. I was just really blessed with those verses this week.
Thank you, Justin. Okay, anyone else? All right, Dwight.
I just thought it might be a good opportunity to introduce some of the guests that we have here with the MCC Fellowship Meals. We have Stan and Marianne Miller, if you want to stand.
Okay.
And they have an exchange student with them from India, Malika.
Okay.
So we're pleased to have them here with us. And then also Christine, I forget her name. Her last name, and she's here with her two sons, Hassan and Zihar. And they're from Wichita, and the first ones were from Little River area, so okay. We're pleased to have them here.
Yes, thank you for introducing them, and welcome. Okay, I think we'll just bow our heads. Perhaps I'll mention these things that have been brought to us, and then we can have a song in for transition then. Let's bow our heads. Lord, you know that we are people of need. We thank you for the way that Marion's heart is turned toward you, and just pray for wisdom on the part of her and the others in whatever decision that will need to be made for further treatment. Think, too, of the lady that Arlene mentioned, and thank you that it wasn't malignant. Just pray for your continued working in that situation. Think of Craig's as they go to Thailand. Thank you that this has opened up for them to go to close that chapter. Just bless their contacts there and continue to step by step give guidance for their future. And then for the request that Kathy brought for John and Janie in West Virginia, and the very understandable that it's been difficult for him since he can't provide for his family, and though he would like to, just pray that you could open doors for him to be able to be employed, to provide for his family. And as well then, the upcoming elections in Kenya tomorrow. Just pray that there would not be the repeat of the violence that there was a number of years ago. Just reminds us that we're blessed in many ways here in this nation, that there's a political stability. There's other challenges that we face. We live in an affluent society. We're certainly susceptible to be influenced by the world around us. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us to be rooted in your word, and to, as your word says, to exhort one another, encourage one another, so we can like Mary, seek that one thing that is most important. We know we need to work. We know we do need things as long as we're here on this earth, but help us not to set our heart on things, because they will pass away, and we want to focus on that which cannot be taken from us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
It will be a real gift to have Brother Johnny Miller from Minerva, Ohio, come and speak for us. This will be in, the meetings will start tomorrow evening, and we would like to see all of you here at 6:30 for prayer. If you can't be here at 6:30 for prayer, then come for the service for the rest of the service that starts at 7. Be nightly through each evening through next Sunday evening, except for Saturday evening. Johnny is a gifted person, and we're filling up his schedule with several other events. Among those is on Saturday evening, he will be doing a presentation on billboard evangelism at Cedar Crest at 7 o'clock. Also on Saturday at Cedar Crest at 3 o'clock, he will do a presentation on the talking about the history of the, some things that have happened at the Romanian Children's Orphanage, where he had worked for many years. There is also then a meal schedule on the bulletin board where you can invite Johnny and Ruth to your home. Johnny told David, on the schedule, I understand, it says that there's a time for snacks after the service, and Johnny says, let the snacks be snacks. So keep it simple for what you expect from him, I guess, after the service. I believe that's the announcements I have for right now. Are there announcements from you, starting at the front here? Okay. I guess Brother David. David.
We always appreciate having visitors, and we are blessed with an unusual number of visitors today, and we're glad for them. And we have a group of CAST volunteers here, and they're interesting in this, that there's not a one of them named Nisley, Yoder, or Miller. And we'd like to have them stand right now. We want an attempt to, if you would stand, you volunteers, appreciate it. Well, not necessarily, but that's fine. Thank you, and the Lord bless you. We're very glad to have you here. You may be seated. Also have several staff, two staff couples, and and also a man who brought some of the volunteers. By the way, the volunteers are from Oregon and Ohio and various places in between. And the board chair for the German Baptist is Ken Hopkins, and he came from Ohio to bring some volunteers, and be heading back to Ohio and maybe seeing us a little bit later. But I've asked Ken to introduce the other staff people that are here. He can do a better job remembering these names than I can. Brother Ken Hopkins from Ohio. Here you stand. Here's your.
Well, first, my wife, Arlene. She doesn't like to stand. But, and we're from Greenville, Ohio. And then Brenton and Julie Wise, if you will stand, from Quinter, Kansas. Thank you. And Gerald and Bonnie Deaton from West Milton, Ohio. And I can't get my eyes on Louise Garber from Portland, Oregon. Dallas, Oregon, and Barbara Burns from Garnett, Kansas. And Arlene and I aren't on the staff, we're just here, so, but thank you very much.
Well, it's certainly a pleasure having you here. Thank you for the contribution you're making to the Hutchinson community.
I might just mention this about the meals for Johnny. We'll take the list off of the bulletin board and take it home with us. So okay. if you have an interest at all, please call us if you don't find the list there.
Okay, sure.
I might just announce that the OVM annual dinner that was scheduled for March 25 is now postponed to tomorrow evening in a week, February 25. Okay. February 25, and now it's March the 11th at the same place.
March the 11th, okay.
Just a friendly reminder for those of you who are on motorist aid, March the 1st was the date that your old proofs of insurance expired. If you have not paid your account in full, you have not yet received your new proof. So please be aware that you are driving with expired proofs if your account is not paid. Prompt payment is much appreciated. Thank you.
This is just a reminder about another change that happens with the CAP, or Center Aid Plan. As of March 1st, we are again changing the rate a little bit, and we will be going to a bi-monthly assessment like we had most of the time in the past. And we will also be adding $10 per member for the maternity aid plan. And so if you have any questions, please feel free to talk to me about that. And also, just want to say thank you to all of you for the past 6-8 months for your cooperation in helping us get the fund built up. We are looking a lot better, and we were able to lower the amount for the assessments a little bit. And if you have, like I said before, if you have any other questions, feel free to talk to me about that.
This announcement is concerning the Art of Marriage retreat, and we had been offering that to the young marrieds and would like to open that up to the whole church. I'll post something on the bulletin board, but I want to give you just a little bit of a heads up of what it's about. This is an event that is on DVD, the way we'll be viewing it. Joel and Hilda spend a weekend with this material and benefited and wanted to share it with others. So it's an opportunity starting on Friday evening, March the 22nd, and ending on Sunday about 2:30 or 3 o'clock. And a key element to this likely will be Saturday evening. The formal part will be ending at 2:45. So I'll give you Joel's words here. Go on a great date, find a nice restaurant, have fun together, talk, and enjoy the evening. Do Project 3 sometime this afternoon or evening. Perhaps start your afternoon with this. That's one I think could be a highlight of our time. So if you can, if you'd like to participate in something like this, we as young Marys would sure enjoy the interaction of a few of you older ones. And maybe a fair warning would be that it's not necessarily John Drescher or John Koblentz style, but we think there's some good in it. And if you do have questions on what it's all about, you can visit the website. Their website, you can find that on the bulletin board as well. Or I think Arlen Nisley would be willing to interact with you on, myself as well. I haven't been through the whole thing. So the other thing, I guess, is it is a little short notice here, but the time is a-coming. So if you could respond by this coming Sunday, that'd be appreciated.
For the youth tonight, the singing will be at Paul Yoder's, and we will be singing first, so please be prompt, and songbooks will be provided.
Oh, another announcement. Could you bring the mic forward, please? Brother Paul here. Paul's to the right there.
This is just for the youth. You'll find parking in both entrances, and we're allowed to use the area next to us belonging to our neighbors. They're the same yard as we do, and you can park in front of the barn there, so just feel free.
Okay, sure. See another announcement to the back. Okay.
Sorry, here. This is an extension. Oh. Concerning the Art of Marriage Retreat, the cost is $70, and partly due to the fact that Marvin Master are letting us do that at their Cottonwood Lane house, so that'd be appreciated along with your reservation.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. We were certainly blessed yesterday in our. The seminar that the Anabaptist Financial put on for us. Thanks to those of you who helped plan and arrange for that. And we have one of the presenters here today that I've asked to lead in our prayer before the offering, Brother Merle Herr. If you'd bring the mic forward to Brother Merle, I would appreciate that. The offering for next Sunday will be for the general fund, and then for today as announced for the MCC Relief Sale and Offender Victim Ministries. Would you rise for prayer at this time?
Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this congregation and for their light and influence in the community. And thank you for the opportunity to participate in a wide-scale relief with this offering. And thank you for how you make yourself present among us through our work and through our money. And we just give with thanksgiving. And we also pray for the remainder of the service for Gary and bless his words. Be with him and give him strength and vision and energy to preach and feed his flock. In your name, amen.
Certainly thank you for that prayer, and I think it would be appropriate to say that our message bearer this morning was Brother Gary Miller. May the Lord